الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد آية 137 أو سورة آل عمران أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قد خلت من قبلكم سنن فسيروا في الأرض فانظروا كيف كان عاقبة المكذبين هذا بيان للناس وهدى وموعظة للمتقين. Many similar ways and mishaps of life were faced by nations, whether believers and disbelievers, that have passed away before you, as you have faced in the battle of Uhud. This is between parentheses. So travel through the earth and see what was the end of those who disbelieved in the oneness of Allah and disobeyed Him and His messengers. This Quran is a plain statement for mankind, a guidance and an instruction to those who are al-muttaqoon, who are God conscious or pious or righteous. The Shaykh Rahmallah says in commenting on these ayat, وَهَذِهِ الْآيَاتُ الْكَرِيمَاتُ وَمَا بَعْدُهَا فِي قِصَّةِ أُحُدْ يُعَزِّي تَعَالَى عِبَادَهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَيُسَلِّيهِمْ وَيُخْبِرَهُمْ أَنَّهُ مَضَى قَبْلَهُمْ أَجْيَالٌ وَأُمَمٌ كَثِيرَةٌ يَمْتَحِنُونَ. These noble ayat and those that will follow concerning the story of Uhud are ayat in which Allah gives condolences or consoles the believers, his believing slaves. It's like a counseling, it's a form of counseling. And he eases the situation for them by informing them that that which they have went through, many people that came before, many nations that preceded them had to go through the same kind of suffering. وَابْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ مِنْهُمْ بِقِتَالِ الْكَافِرُونَ. And the believers amongst them were tested by having to fight against the disbelievers. So the Muslims and the Sahaba of the Prophet ﷺ were not the first. In fact, per biblical references, we have the clear instructions where Musa was commanded to go and fight, alaykum salam, to go and kill everything and everyone, even donkeys and oxes and don't leave anything alive except virgin girls. So it is said in the Bible that they kept for themselves 32,000 virgin girls. And you wouldn't know the girl is a virgin until you have done something. And when it turns out that she's not a virgin, that she wasn't a virgin, they would kill her. If it turned out that she was a virgin, they would keep her. These are biblical texts. So whenever a Christian likes to get philosophical with you concerning jihad in Islam and fighting for the sake of Allah, say, come here man, come. What is this in your book? And we don't have that in the Quran. And we don't have go kill everything and everyone and keep virgin girls for yourself. And we don't have that. And we have other teachings, leave alone women, leave alone children, leave alone elderly, leave alone. So we can counter the whole argument and show them that if they have issues with such teachings, then they need to disbelieve in the Bible. Because the Bible is full of them. Jesus being described as, do not think that I came to bring peace upon earth. In Luke, I came to bring fire, upon earth. And oh, how I wish it was already kindled. I will separate between the father and his son, the mother and her daughter. Just very strong words that are attributed to Jesus in the Bible that the average Christian does not know. But if you know that and you're able to present it as an evidence, this will silence any misconception concerning jihad in Islam. Anywho, so nations that came before had to go through the same thing. فَلَمْ يَزَالُوا فِي مُدَاوَلَةٍ وَمُجَاوَلَةٍ حَتَّى جَعَلَ اللَّهُ الْعَقِبَةَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ وَالنَّصْرَ لِعِبَادِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And they remained in their ups and downs. The believers fighting against the disbelievers, they went through various stages. Some of them will be on top and the others will be suffering at the hands of those who are on top. Until at the end Allah made the outcome for the pious and He gave victory to His believing slaves. وآخر الأمر حصلت سلطان الدول على المكذبين وخذلهم الله بنصر رسله وأتباعهم. And the conclusion was that the humiliation was cast upon the beliars, and Allah disgraced them and granted victory to His messengers and their followers. His messengers and their followers. So Allah said, فَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, then walk upon earth. بِأَبْدَانِكُمْ وَقُلُوبِكُمْ, walk upon earth with your physical beings, with your bodies and with your hearts. Meaning don't just walk upon earth without reflection. So there's two things here. You walk and then you reflect. فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ, then look what was the outcome of the disbelievers. فَأَنَّكُمْ لَا تَجِدُونَهُمْ إِلَّا مُعَذَّبِينَ بِأَنْوَاعِ الْعُقُوبَاتِ الدُّنْيَوِيَّةِ, you will find that they have been tortured with all kinds of worldly punishments. And if you go to Jordan and you go to some of these countries and you see the remains of the previous nations, you know, and all you find is just, you know, monuments and constructions. The actual people wiped out. People are gone. Allah destroyed the people of Ad, people of Thamud, the list Shu'aib, the people of Shu'aib, Al-Aika, Ashabul Aika, the people of Lut, the people of Nuh, the people of Ibrahim, all the messengers, whenever their people disbelieved in them, Allah wiped them out. Allah will exterminate the whole population. However, ever since He sent the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this wasn't the case anymore. Why? Many people don't know. Rahmatan lil'alameen. Some people say, how you say that, you know, the Messenger is mercy for people, right? And you have, you know, fighting in the cause of Allah, and you have, what mercy? Say, listen man, the nations that came before, when their prophets and their messengers brought them the proof, and they didn't believe, what happened to them? Allah wiped them off the face of the earth. There was no respite. Huh? There was no delay. They weren't given a chance. The evidences came, proof presented, they rejected, you can expect the punishment of Allah next. But with the Prophet ﷺ, people are continuously being given opportunities to change their ways and go to Islam. If Allah were to exterminate the kuffar when they rejected the Prophet ﷺ, it would have been done for them. But until today, people enter into Islam because He was sent as mercy for mankind. Allah decreed that after His message, if the people disbelieved, Allah would not eradicate them. Rather, Allah established jihad. So the believers can attain high reward, great reward with Allah Azza wa Jal. So the Muslims can establish justice on earth, and the disbelievers will be given a chance to change their ways. This is why fighting was the last option. First option is what? Da'wah. Coming to Islam. We're a nation that was supposed to conquer the world. Let's put it in basic terms. There's no compromising here. The Ummah, the Muslim Ummah, is supposed to be in charge of planet Earth. It's our duty. Because if we're not, then the message of Islam will not be delivered to the people. We're supposed to take over, right? Okay, when we're supposed to take over, why? Because this is the only religion of God. It's the only true religion of God. Any other nation taking over the world, what will happen? Corruption. Today, the United States of America, and before other nations, when they are the superpower of the world, what do you see in the world? Corruption? Mischief? Look at Hiroshima and Japan. Look at all, everything. I mean, look at the history, only history. Recent history. You will not find a nation except that it suffered at the hands of these people. Including today, Muslims in Afghanistan, Muslims in Pakistan, Muslims in Iraq, wherever you go, Muslims are being tortured, either directly or indirectly, whether at the hands of the Jews or their allies. Why? Because they are in charge. If we Muslims were in charge, would we do this to people? A'udhu billah. Haram. Haram for you to kill a soul. Haram for you to kill a single soul without a just cause. We can't be doing it. We won't be doing it. If we were in charge, then we will naturally offer the people to embrace Islam, because there's no compulsion in the religion. You cannot put the sword to his head and say, come on, become a Muslim. Because even if he gave a shahada, it's worthless in Islam. He's a hypocrite. He doesn't need it. So there's no compulsion in the religion. If they don't want to embrace Islam, says, I'm a Christian, I want to stay a Christian. What do we do? So we're going to kill you now? No. No. Then we say, okay, because we're supposed to take over this world, and you are supposed to be, you are an obstacle in the way, you will remain upon your religion, you will live under our protection, you have civil rights, constitutional rights, no one has the right to destroy your church, no one has the right to kill you, no one has the right to harass you, but you have to pay taxes, because we're taking care of you. Isn't that beautiful? It's beautiful. And that's what happened in the early history of Islam. And when the Muslims were in charge of these countries, and Muslims started fading, the power of Muslims started fading, and they had to go away, the people that were controlled by Muslims, who then had Christians take over, started complaining. Said, we want the Muslims back. Because in the Islamic State, there was no oppression. Even the kafir had his rights. So then when they don't want to pay taxes, they know. We don't want anything. We don't want to accept your religion. And we will not move out of your way, so that we will move you out of the way. And when we move you out of the way, and you say you change your mind, you want peace, we will go for peace. In the meantime, we will not kill your children, we will not kill your women, we will not kill the elderly, we will not burn your houses, we will not cut the trees, we will not kill your animals. This is justice. There's no justice on earth like this. And every country that yaks its mouth, about, you know, terrorism and jihad and whatever, terrorism, we all agree that it's no good. We all agree it's no good. But jihad, these same countries are the strongest countries military-wise, right? They are the same countries that have no problem developing nuclear weapons and all kinds of things, and they say this is our right, you know, we have the right to protect our land, to protect our citizens, you know, if a country tries to invade us, we have the right to, right or wrong, all of them exercise what they consider their rights. But when Muslims try to do it, they say, no, 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 you know, religion, and that's, why? We are a state. A Muslim is not only a religion, we have an Islamic state. And that Islamic state has the same military rights as every other nation on earth. There isn't a nation except that they have weapons and soldiers and so on and so forth. And no one said that they're terrorizing people, even though they are terrorizing people. So we have been brainwashed by the media, so much so that the average Muslim becomes scared. We're scared of saying the truth. And we hide it and say, no, peace, 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 peace. Man, you will become pieces soon if you don't start saying the truth. Yes? But you need to know the truth. Now when you know the truth and it's convincing, no one can say anything afterwards. These same people that complain are the biggest criminals on earth. And we are the victims. What are you talking about? How are you going to turn the fingers around? Yes! Then if they say, okay, blowing up a plane, say that's not part of Islam. Blowing up a building, that's not part of Islam either. Right? Because that entails the taking away of innocent souls who are not engaged in a battlefield. Haram! So those who Muslims who do this in the name of Islam are doing something incorrect. So we have a balanced position here, which we all need to be familiar with. So you see the justice of Islam then. Is that clear? Does anyone have a problem with jihad? Allah's right. It's Allah's deen. Alhamdulillah that Allah established jihad. If Allah were to wipe out the nations after the Prophet ﷺ, then there would be no one on earth. All of them would be going to Jahannam eternally. But because of this leeway, how many people have entered into Islam since the time of the Prophet ﷺ? Countless people. And this is rahmatan lil alameen. This is mercy to mankind. The Prophet ﷺ was sent as only a means of mercy to mankind. Those who accept his religion, they get to enjoy the goods of this dunya and the life to come. Those who reject, at least they're given some opportunity to enjoy the dunya. They get something. Before, when the people of Nuh disbelieved, there was no entertainment for them. And everybody drowned. Even Nuh's son, alayhi salatu salam, drowned in front of his father's eyes. He was speaking to him while he was, you know, in the ocean. قال يا بني اركب معنا. He said, my son, ride with us. He said, I will go to this mountain, يَعْصِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَاءِ. It will protect me from the water. He said, لَا عَصِمَ الْيَوْمِ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. There's nothing that will protect you from the command of Allah. While he's speaking to him, a wave came in between and he didn't see his son anymore. And every nation that came after the people of Nuh suffered similarly. And no Christian or Jew will deny that. No believer in scriptures will deny that. So then the Prophet ﷺ is mercy to mankind. You see how we deduce this mercy? Because some people get confused. Don't be confused. Allah made a mercy to people. Those who don't embrace Islam, they're given a chance to embrace it even after some time. Their children are given a chance to enter into Islam. Because when the parents are wiped out, there's no more children. When the whole nation is wiped out, there's no one to be there. New people will have to come. So this is all from the mercy of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We need to realize that. Jameel. على كل حال. قد خوت ديارهم وتبين لكم كل أحد خسارهم. Their homes have been evacuated and has become clear for everyone their supreme loss. وذهب عزهم وملكهم وزال بخذهم وفخرهم. Their honor and their might and their dominion have been demolished and diminished, and so was their pride and their arrogance. أَفَلَيْسَ فِي هَذَا أَعْظَمُ دَلِيلٌ وَأَكْبَرُ شَاهِدٌ عَلَى صِدْقِ مَا جَاءَتْ بِهِ الرُّسُلُ وَحِكْمَةُ اللَّهِ الَّتِي يَمْتَحِنُ بِهَا عِبَادَهُ لِيَبْلُوَهُمْ وَيَتَبَيَّنَ صَادِقَهُمْ مِنْ كَاذِبَهُمْ. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ تَعَالَى. Isn't there then in that the greatest evidence about the truthfulness of what the messengers have brought, the truth of the message which was brought by the messengers, and the supreme wisdom of Allah who tests his servants, so the one who is truthful will become distinct from the one who is lying. This is what Allah said in the next ayah, هذا بيان للناس. This is means of clarification for the people. أي دلالة ظاهرة تبين للناس الحق من الباطل. It is clear proof and evidence which clarifies for the people the difference between the truth and the falsehood. وأهل السعادة من أهل الشقاوة. يا جماعة الخير. We need to work on our vocabulary. Aikum salam. Right? All of you are Arabic students? Are all of you Arabic language students?
No.
Who's not? Who's not learning Arabic now? Who's learning Arabic?
In here?
Yeah, wherever, inshallah, on planet Mars. Who's learning Arabic? Okay. So then, we need to integrate, and my personal suggestion, if you may accept it, is that you bring with you a notebook to the class so that you can take general notes and specific vocabulary notes. So for example, I will try also, in order to help you improve your language, to integrate the vocabulary element into the class. For example, أهل السعادة وأهل الشقاوة. And now this comes often in the tafsir, and it comes in the Quran. Shaqiyun wa sa'id. And it comes in different derivatives of the same root word. Alaykum salam. So if you were to take a note of the meaning of the word, and you happen to be in salah, and the imam recites the ayah which has shaqawa and sa'ada, or shaqiyun and sa'id, you will know what's going on. Right or wrong?
That's very good.
Beautiful. So you bring a notebook, inshallah, and you start. I try to give you some vocabulary every now and then, whenever possible. Especially.
Can you start from this?
That's your. You do whatever you like.
I have
a notebook. طيب إذن أهل الشقاوة وأهل السعادة. شقاوة شقي. شقيا is one who is wretched. يعني the miserable, the destroyed, the one who has been deprived of success. It's the opposite of successful. Okay? Then, so Allah made this Quran means for us to make a distinction between Ahlu Sa'ada. Sa'ada comes from Sa'id. Sa'id is happy. Sa'id, Sa'ada, Sa'ida, Yas'adu, ila akhrihi, all these derivatives of the same word. Like in English, you have neglect, negligent, neglectful, right? You add prefixes and suffixes to change the word. In Arabic, we have something along the same lines. Sa'ada, happiness. Shaqawa, wretchful. Wretched. The one who is wretched. The one who is miserable. The one who is destroyed. The one who is a loser. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Hey. وهو الإشارة إلى ما أوقع الله بالمكذبين. And this is a sign to what Allah had incurred or Allah had afflicted with the beliers and the disbelievers. وَهُدًا وَمَوْعِظَةً لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And this Quran or this reminder is hudan, guidance. And everyone should know that, right? Because you say اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. اِهْدِنَا is the request. It's an imperative in English. It's an imperative sentence which is requesting something. It's called in Arabic أمر, فعل أمر, right? But when it's the context of أمر means command. But whenever it's in reference to Allah, we don't say أمر, command. We say request, because you cannot command Allah anything. Request. هداية then is what? Guidance. Hold on a second now. وَهُدًا وَمَوْعِظَةً لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. مَوْعِظَة, you hear it very often, means admonishment. A strong, effective reminder. There are many complicated English words, maybe you don't like them, so I'm trying to give you other words. They call it exhortation, to exhort, exhortation, admonishment, and a strong reminder. These three words, or you more or less, will describe the term مَوْعِظَة in Arabic. مَوْعِظَة, ميم واو عين ضاء مربوطة. وَمَوْعِظَةٌ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And this Quran is an admonishment, is a means of exhortation for the muttaqeen. You all know muttaqeen, the people of taqwa, those who have the quality of taqwa, the noun. لأنهم هم المنتفعون بالآيات فتهديهم إلى سبيل الرشاد وتعظهم وتزجرهم عن طريق الغي. Because these are the only ones who truly benefit from the ayat, the people of taqwa, the God-conscious people. These ayat, they guide them to the path of upright, being upright. And it admonishes them and it deters them from the path of destruction and the path of desires, غي. وَأَمَّا بَاقِ النَّاسِ فَهِيَ بَيَانٌ لَهُمْ تَقُومُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْحُجَّ مِنَ اللَّهِ لِيَهْلَكَ مَنْ هَلَكَ عَنْ بَيِّنَةٍ. As for the rest of the people, these same ayat are means of clarification in order for Allah's proof and evidence to be established against them, so whoever will be destroyed upon insight. Meaning no one will come and say, oh, I didn't know that there was La ilaha illallah, and I didn't know that Muhammad was the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I didn't know the Quran was a revelation. No one will come and say that, because the news has reached them. And once the news has reached them, the ayat of Allah had come to them, and they rejected them, then Allah had established his proof against them, and when they are destroyed on the Day of Judgment, then they are doing so upon knowledge. As for those who never received the message of Islam, then Allah will not punish them until they have received the message. Surah Al-Isra, Allah says, وَمَا كُنَّ مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. And we were never to punish a people until a messenger has been sent to them. So if someone was living, as they say, in a jungle, right? Some primitive people living somewhere in the jungle, never received the message of Islam, totally not knowing of what's going on, and they die, Allah will test them on the Day of Judgment. Outwardly we say they died upon, they were not Muslims. But we don't declare them as the people of the fire, because no messenger was sent to them. Right? But this is not very common. Most people on earth today, with the telephone and the internet, all these, the mass media, you will hardly find someone who hasn't reached the message of Islam. Especially nowadays, where Islam is on the news, in the radios, in the newspapers, on TV, anywhere you go, either burqa, banning in France, but Quran burning in America, what's that other thing, cartoon of, Prophet ﷺ in Sweden and other countries, Switzerland was it? Whatever, one of these countries. Anyways, wherever you go, Islam is in the spotlight. Yeah, but the mosque in Ground Zero, it's not really in Ground Zero, it's a few blocks away, and there was a masjid there before anyway, it's a long story. Anywho, Islam is out there, be it receiving its free advertisement. I said I live near Palestine, and that I confiscate phones that ring in my glass. We're getting a lot of free advertisements. Alhamdulillah. So we need to take advantage of it by presenting Islam in the best way possible. in this website, Chat Islam. By Allah's grace, I give talks there twice a week. Chat Islam.
Chat.
Chatislam. I give classes there twice a week. On Friday, like today after Asr, 4:30 Mecca time, Jeddah time, and Tuesday after Maghrib. MashaAllah, almost in every dars, when I come in, before we begin, usually there's someone who's ready to become a Muslim. Not that I gave him da'wah, I have nothing to do with it. I come for my class, and then the monitors tell me, you know, Abu Mus'ab, there's, you know, Carlos, whatever his name is, he's ready to become Muslim, you want to give him shahada? So, sure, no problem. But mashallah, you know, it's unbelievable. This is only one website, you know, that deals with giving da'wah to non-Muslims. And almost every class, there's a new Muslim. Every class there's a new Muslim life that we're chatting with, and they get to see us and so on and so forth. So, yani the deen is getting propagated on its own. While we sit back and drink coffee and tea, Allah Azza wa Jalla had made sure that His deen is spread among the people in other ways that do not depend on our shortcomings. So alhamdulillah, otherwise we'll be in big trouble. But we try our best. Ala kulli hal. ويحتمل أن الإشارة بقول هذا بيان للناس للقرآن العظيم والذكر الحكيم وأنه بيان للناس عموم من وهدى وموعظة للمتقين خصوصا وكل المعنيين حق. And it could be that the ayat or that هذا they call it in English a demonstrative pronoun, you know, like this, that, these, those. So in Arabic we have hada, hadihi, haula, ulaika, ila akhiri. You probably came across these words in these pronouns in the Quran often, right? Sah. You heard them before? Hada bayanu nas, hada al-Quran, inna hada al-Quran yahdi lil ahsan, dhalika al-kitab, dhalika tilka. Anyways, all these are demonstrative pronouns. It could be that the pronoun in this ayah is not referring to the ayat, these ayat in particular, which we discussed earlier. Rather, it is referring to the whole great Quran. To the great Quran and the wise reminder in it, and that it is means of clarification and guidance for the people in general, and its guidance and admonishment for the people of taqwa in particular. And both meanings are correct. There's no contradiction between both interpretations. طيب. Ayah 139. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ولا تهنوا ولا تحزنوا وأنتم الأعلون إن كنتم مؤمنين. إن يمسسكم قرح فقد مس القوم قرح مثله وتلك الأيام نداولها بين الناس وليعلم الله الذين آمنوا ويتخذ منكم شهداء والله لا يحب الظالمين. Who has the English and has a loud voice, or do I read it from my phone? I'll just read it from my phone. ماشي حالك. So do not become weak against your enemy, nor be sad, and you will be superior in victory if you are indeed believers. That's what we're missing, the ultimate belief. If a wound and killing has touched you, be sure a similar wound and killing has touched the others. And so are the days, good and not so good, we give to men by turns. Allah gives them, you know, alternate terms. One day it's for you, one day it's against you. That Allah may test those who believe, and that He may take martyrs from among you. And Allah likes not the polytheists and wrongdoers. And that Allah may test the believers. Oh no, we didn't read Ayah 141. Okay. يقول الشيخ رحمه الله يقول تعالى مشجعا لعباده المؤمنين ومقربا ومقويا لعزائمهم ومنهضا لهممهم. ولا تهنوا ولا تحزنوا. Allah تبارك وتعالى encourages His believing slaves, and He strengthens their determination, and He elevates their wills and their intents by saying to them, "Do not become weak." Do not become weak nor be sad. Do don't be weak or sad. أي لا تهنوا وتضعفوا في أبدانكم. Meaning, do not be weak physically. Do not be weak physically. ولا تحزنوا في قلوبكم. And do not be sad with your heart. Because is your body sad? Your body becomes weak when your heart is sad. And you can try this from experience, right? When bad news comes to you, what happens to you? You sit down, you can't move anymore. Say, man, what happened to you? You know? And usually, you know, for the average person, he dropped his ice cream. You know, you think something major happened, his ice cream cone is on the floor, and this is the biggest calamity that happened. He's like, say, brother, pick it up. I can't move. I can't move. So anyways, your heart gets sad, your body gets what? Tired. You become weak. You're unable to do things. When you're happy, what happens? You start jumping in your place. And the biggest evidence is children. You know, you can go to your son, and he'd be almost sleepy, right? He can't even move. And you take out a toy. He'll jump out of his bed, right? Start running around. What happened to the tiredness that you were suffering from, you know, a few minutes ago? Gone. Why? The body is directly linked to the heart. If you're happy, you're excited. If you're not, then you're not. No one can deny that. This is something. So look at the eloquence of the Quran and Allah Azza wa Jalla. You know, Allah said both things. Don't become weak in your body, sad in your heart. So Allah is trying to put an end to both. Whichever one may cause the Muslims to lose, don't do it. Whether it's physical weakness or, you know, the heart, the sadness of the heart. I hear someone speaking in the background. Hey. وابتليتم بهذه البلوى ولا تحزنوا في قلوبكم عندما أصابتكم المصيبة. Don't be sad in your heart when this calamity has afflicted you. وابتليتم بهذه البلوى فإن الحزن في القلوب والوهن على الأبدان زيادة مصيبة عليكم. Because being sad in your heart, weak in your body, is another calamity that will befall you. Meaning you've already suffered something, let's say the loss of on the day of Uhud. Then if you become weak in your body, sad in your heart, then that's double trouble now. Now you have the calamity of loss and the condition which you are in. وَعَوْنٌ لِعَدُوِّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ بَلْ شَجِّعُ قُلُوبَكُمْ وَصَبِّرُوهَا وَاتْفَعُ عَنَ الْحَزَنِ وَتَصَلَّبُوا عَلَى قِتَالِ عَدُوَكُمْ. And this will be means of giving advantage for your enemies over you. Your enemies will have an advantage over you. So then what you should do is encourage your hearts and be patient and fight against sadness and be firm in fighting against your enemy. وَذَكَرَ تَعَالَى أَنَّهُ لَا يَنْبَغِي وَلَا يَلِيقُ بِكُمُ الْوَهْنُ وَالْحَزَنُ وَهُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ فِي الْإِيمَانِ وَرَجَاءُ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَثَوَابِهِ. And Allah then mentioned that it is not becoming, it is not befitting, nor is it appropriate that you should suffer any kind of weakness or nor any kind of sadness while you are the superior, while you are the ones who are in charge, because your iman, because of your iman you are superior. Not because of weaponry, not because of numbers, because of your iman you are superior to everyone else, and because you hope in Allah's victory and His good reward. فالمؤمن المبتغي ما وعده الله من الثواب الدنيوي والأخروي لا ينبغي له ذلك. Any believer then who is seeking to acquire Allah's worldly reward and that of the hereafter, it is not befitting for him to be in that state of weakness and sadness. It's not befitting. ولهذا قال وأنتم الأعلون إن كنتم مؤمنين. While you are the ones who are supreme, who are superior, if you are truly believers. Meaning you will be given victory if you are believers. The weaker our iman, the more we will suffer of losses. And this is what we are experiencing today. We suffer from weakness of iman, and so the enemy were given the upper hand, in a sense, temporarily over the Muslims. If we were to return to our iman, then it would be the other way around. But predominantly, illa man rahim Allah, Muslims are busy with all kinds of things that bring absolutely no benefit. Not in the dunya, not in the deen. Just you know, idle actions and talk that benefit us in no way, shape or form. Allah musta'an. May Allah change the condition of the ummah. ثم سلاهم بما حصل من الهزيمة ما حصل لهم من الهزيمة وبين الحكم العظيمة المترتبة على ذلك. Then Allah eased their situation, eased their feelings by concerning the loss. This is again the first loss that the Muslims had to suffer at the hands of the Kuffar in the Battle of Uhud, after they had been victorious in the Battle of Badr. And Allah mentioned the great wisdoms behind that loss. So Allah said, إِن يَمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْحٌ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحٌ مِثْلُهُ. We read that already. If some calamity had befallen you, then the people also had some similar sufferings. If you had suffered wounds and killing, so they have. So have they. They have the same thing. They have the same issues. فَأَنْتُمْ هُمْ قَدْ تَسَوَيْتُمْ فِي الْقَرْحِ وَلَكِنَّكُمْ تَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ. However, you hope to get from Allah what they do not hope. كما قال تعالى إن تكونوا تعلمون فإنهم يعلمون كما تعلمون وترجون من الله ما لا يرجون. Allah said another ayah, if you are suffering pain, then they are also suffering pain. The same way you are suffering pain, but you hope to get from Allah what they don't. So the Muslims are suffering in the battlefield, and so are the kuffar in the battlefield. But what are the Muslims hoping for? Even though they're sharing the suffering, the outcome is totally opposite. The outcome of the disbeliever who's fighting against the Muslims is where? Jahannam. And the outcome of the Muslim who's fighting for the sake of Allah is where? Jannah. That's it. So Allah is telling them, look, even though you're not the only one suffering, they're suffering like you. But what you're hoping for is something they can never hope for. So that should, you know, ease the stress of the Muslims, and they can feel content and satisfied with what Allah Azza wa Jalla had decreed for them. وَمِنَ الْحِكَمِ فِي ذَلِكَ أَنَّ هَذِهِ الدَّارُ يُعْطِي اللَّهُ مِنْهَا الْمُؤْمِنُ وَالْكَافِرُ وَالْبَرَّ وَالْفَاجِرُ فَيُدَاوِلُ اللَّهُ الْأَيَّامَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ يَوْمٌ لِهَذِهِ الطَّائِفَةِ وَيَوْمٌ لِلطَّائِفَةِ الْأُخْرَى. And from the wisdoms that this abode of the worldly life, Allah Azza wa Jal gives it to the believer and the disbeliever, to the righteous and to the wicked, the good and the bad. Everyone gets his share of the dunya. And Allah will, you know, alternate the days between them. One day for this group, the next day is for that group. لأن هذه الدار الدنيا منقضية فانية وهذا بخلاف الدار الآخرة فإنها خالصة للذين آمنوا. هذه الدار, and you probably heard the word دار in the Quran often. دار really means your home. And remember the دار الأرقم, ابن الأرقم. It was the house of الأرقم بن الأرقم. And in the Quran it comes often. تلك الدار الآخرة نجعلها للذين لا يريدون علوا في الأرض ولا فسادا ولا عقبة للمتقين. دار السلام, والله يدعو إلى دار السلام ويهدي من يشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. دار means a residence, an abode, a place where you chill out, where you feel relaxed and comfortable. This dar, this worldly abode, this worldly residence is bound to perish. Is bound to perish and become non-existent, extinct like dinosaurs. This is unlike the life to come, which is permanent and specifically dedicated to the believers. The life to come is where they will have their ultimate reward. وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهَذَا أَيْضًا مِنَ الْحِكَمِ أَنَّهُ يَبْتَلِي اللَّهُ عِبَادَهُ بِالْهَزِيمَةِ وَالْإِبْتِلَاءِ لِيَتَبَيَّنَ الْمُؤْمِنُ مِنَ الْمُنَافِقِ. And Allah said, and so Allah will know those who know amongst you, those who believe amongst you. And you have to be very careful. Many people have a misunderstanding. When they read some of these ayat, what Allah Azza wa Jalla says, so that Allah will know. Yani Allah will do something in order for him to know who is a believer and who is a hypocrite. Does that mean that Allah does not know prior to that event? He knows everything. So then how do you explain it? The ayah says, وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So that, لَمْ التَّعْلِيلِ, لَمْ is the justifying لَمْ. In order, so that Allah will know those who believe amongst you and those who don't, or those who are hypocrites. If Allah knew prior to that, then what is the benefit? How do we understand that?
So that the people that doesn't have excuse.
Ahsant. This is in order to establish it against the people. Because Allah knows everything, and based on Allah's knowledge, He knows which one of us is going to Jannah and which one of us is going to Jahannam. Allah could have, for His knowledge, already put everyone everywhere. But what will happen? People will complain. The people of Jannah will say, what am I doing here? Now Allah could tell them, I knew. If you were to live this life, if I were allowing You know, they will try to prove that they would have done otherwise. So Allah allows this to happen so this can be proof against the creation. Otherwise Allah knows. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything, He knows everything way before it happened. Beautiful. And so this is among the wisdoms that Allah Azza wa Jal will test His believers with law, with defeat. With defeat. In order for the believer to become clearly distinct from the hypocrite. لَأَنَّهُ لَوْ اسْتَمَرَّ نَصْرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي جَمِيعِ الْوَقَاعِ لَدَخَلَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ مَنْ لَا يُرِيدُ. Beautiful. If Muslims were victorious all the time, then people would have entered Islam who shouldn't be part of the religion. Right? People who want money, people who want, you know, power, when they see Muslims, every time they engage in a battlefield, they win. Hypocrites will say, come on, we become Muslims also, and we can benefit. At home, they're worshipping Jesus, outside they're praying in the masjid. But they're benefiting from the Muslims. Protection, power, wealth. Receive? So when Allah tests the believers with loss, then these people no longer join. Say, okay, these are regular people. They win sometimes, they lose sometimes. So the only people who will enter Islam are those who are convinced that this is the religion of God. Not every Tom, Dick, and Harry. Beautiful. فَإِذَا حَصَلَ فِي بَعْدِ الْوَقَائِعِ بَعْضَ أَنْوَاعِ الْإِبْتِلَاءِ تَبَيَّنَ الْمُؤْمِنُ حَقِيقَةً الَّذِي يَرْغَبُ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ فِي الضَّرَّاءِ وَالسَّرَّاءِ وَالْيُسْرِ وَالْعُسْرِ عَمَّنْ لَيْسَ كَذَلِكَ. So when these kind of calamities befall the believers, it will become distinct and evident. The true believer who has desire in Islam, at the time of adversity, at the time of prosperity, at the time of ease, at the time of difficulty, regardless of the times, he's a Muslim. Not only when Muslims are doing good, he's a Muslim. When Muslims are doing bad, they leave Islam, as many people do today. They're Muslims all the time. Then Allah said, and so that Allah may take from amongst you martyrs, shuhada. وَهَذَا أَيْضًا مِنْ بَعْضِ الْحِكَمِ لِأَنَّ الشَّهَادَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ أَرْفَعِ الْمَنَازِلِ. And this is from the wisdom that Allah had declared or decreed upon, that the Muslims will engage in war with non-Muslims and that Muslims will be killed in the process. So these Muslims who die for the sake of Allah will be considered shuhada, shaheedun, martyr. And this is among the highest positions that one could hope for, and it is not attainable except if these means existed. إِلَّا بِوْجُودِ أَسْبَابِهَا إِلَّا بِمَا يَحْصُلُ مِنْ وُجُودِ أَسْبَابِهَا. You cannot have gotten this reward in this ultimate sense. Now we know in Islam, if a wall falls on you, or if you drown, or if a woman delivering a child dies, or if you get some stomach disease which wind up killing you, all these actually will entitle you to the title of shaheed. According to the authentic narrations of Rasulullah, you will be considered a shaheed. But not like the shaheed of the ma'araka. Not like the shaheed of the battlefield. That shaheed is on another level. Why? Someone is... Yani look, you may sacrifice a thawb. Huh? You may sacrifice money. You may sacrifice your car. You may donate something for the sake of Allah. But when you donate your own life, is there anything more dear to one of us? Is there anything dearer to one of us than his own life? Your own body? Now we do all kinds of things to protect his body and the soul in the body, right? That's why you take medicine, that's why you see doctors, you try to remain alive. So when you reach a point where you're willing to give that soul up and have that body endure, you know, hardship for the sake of Allah, then this is one of the highest point of belief, and that you deserve. You deserve a high reward with Allah Azza wa Jalla in the life to come. This is why the martyrdom is something which is highly recommended in Islam. Kuffar complain, they make fun of us, 72 hur'een, 72 women, virgins in Jannah. Muslims say, listen man, you don't like it? You know, take a hike. You don't like it? That's not my problem to make you like it. That's what Allah has promised the believers. You don't believe it? We have yaqeen. We have certainty that this is what will happen. And you will see, when we die and you die, what's going to happen. So don't let them make fun of that. And martyrdom is something that a believer should wish for. However, it has guidelines. It has guidelines. Going to a public place and blowing yourself up in this fashion is not necessarily a form of martyrdom. Because you are killing civilians, innocent people. or non-combatants, if you want to call them more technically speaking. So if Muslims were engaged in war on a battlefield, then the believer should strive and hope for the Shahada. Because those who die for the sake of Allah, they have something in Jannah that is way beyond the average person who, you know, lives his life fasting and praying and doing the zakah and everything and he does. They're not the same. They're not the same. The Shaheed has a lot of virtues, a lot of privileges Allah gave them that the others don't have. So how would a Muslim get such high reward if jihad wasn't established and decreed, legislated? Then it would have been the case. Allah Azza wa Jalla out of mercy decreed and legislated jihad for the believers. إذن فهذا من رحمته بعباده المؤمنين. This is from the mercy of Allah to His believing slaves. أن قيض لهم من الأسباب ما تكرهه النفوس. That He assigned for them that which the souls dislike. By nature, you don't like death. No one likes death. Even Aisha radiallahu anha said to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَأَيُّنَا يُحِبُّ الْمَوْتِ. Which one of us loves death? And he approved it, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't deny that when she told him that. The average human being likes death? No. People like to live as long as possible. So what, you know, because of Allah legislated something which goes against your desires to live. And jihad means that you may go. لِيُنِيلَهُمْ مَا يُحِبُّونَ مِنَ الْمَنَازِلِ الْعَالِيَ وَالنَّعِيمِ الْمُقِيمِ. So that they will get this ultimate reward in high virtuous places in the life to come. So it's suffering in the dunya and a lot of reward in the life to come. And ultimately you go into the life to come. The death is going to occur and it's going to taste every soul. Every soul will taste death. And if you were given a choice of dying, you're going to die anyways. One death for the sake of Allah, on the battlefield that will give you all of these rewards. Or dying in a hospital bed, you know, suffering from some disease that will make you, you know, suffer in the last days of your life. And you're dying anyways. Which one would you prefer? Ultimately, this is beside the point. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. This is besides the fact. This is besides the fact that the death for the sake of Allah, the shaheed, he does not feel pain. Yani as soon as his soul is leaving, the pain associated with the manner in which he's killed, Allah Azza wa Jalla will ease and almost eliminate that pain. Because the death was for the sake of Allah. And you know, their blood will, on the day of judgment, they will come and their blood will smell like musk, like the best kind of musk on the day of judgment. So the shaheed then has a lot of privileges that the average Muslim who dies in any other fashion does not have. Even if it's from the other ways of shahada, as I mentioned, the stomach disease or being, you know, a wall falling on him. Some of the scholars say a car accident may be included under the concept of something, you know, falling over you and killing you and whatever. But the idea is the shahada in on the battlefield is unmatched. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, when He wanted to mention the people in terms of their status in the life to come, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. So the third in degree after the Siddiqeen. The Siddiq is not your average brother. That's Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Someone who believed in everything and acted upon everything that he knew. Something that most of us are unable to do. Then the shuhada, then the average Muslims, the salihin. So this is the level of martyrdom, and this is its virtue in the sight of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And the end of the ayah, Allah says, وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. And Allah does not love the wrongdoers and the polytheists. And this is important because we use this to give da'wah or to refute the Christians who tell you that God loves everyone. And Allah says in the Quran that He doesn't love everyone. Allah loves those who deserve love. So when a Christian tells you God loves you, because the Christian is the easiest thing for him in the world to say, Jesus loves you. So did you speak to Jesus before you came to me? Did He call you on the phone and say, tell Abu Mus'ab that I love him very much? Where do you get this information from? Well, God loves everyone. See, yeah? Why is there hellfire? To the Christian, they believe in hellfire, don't they? Say, why is there hellfire? Would God put eternally people who He loves in hellfire? They can't answer. They can't answer. I don't want Jesus as Lord and Savior. Keep Him. He loves me still. I just believe in Him as a God. I believe in Him as a messenger. But you say, I must believe in Him as a God. I don't want to. He still loves me. How about the Satan worshipper? Does he love Him as well? So this is a false claim that the Christians have in order to fool the people. God loves everyone. God loves it. No, God does not love everyone. And He does not love everything. And the biggest evidence is the Quran and even biblical texts. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ Allah does not love the wrongdoers. The Shaykh said, الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَتَقَاعَدُوا عَنِ الْقِتَالِ فِي سَبِيلِهِ وَكَأَنَّ فِي هَذَا تَعْرِيضًا بِذَنْبِ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَأَنَّهُمْ مُبْغِضُونَ لِلَّهِ وَلِهَذَا ثَبَّطَهُمْ عَنِ الْقِتَالِ فِي سَبِيلِهِ وَلَوْ أَرَادُوا الْخُرُوجَ لَأَعَدُّوا لَهُ الْعُدَّةِ وَلَكِنْ كَرِهَ اللَّهُمْ بِعَاثَهُمْ فَثَبَّطَهُمْ وَقِيلَ قُعُدُوا مَعَ الْقَاعِدِينَ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ Those who have wronged themselves and they stayed behind and did not engage in fighting in His cause. And as if Allah is hinting at the munafiqeen and belittling them and indicating that they don't truly love Allah. They do not truly love Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is why Allah azza wa jalla did not even give them the means or the ability to engage in fighting for His cause. And if they were to go out for the sake of Allah, they would do a lot of preparation. They would make a big deal. So when Allah saw that they didn't have that will, they didn't have that desire to please Him and fight in His cause, Allah azza wa jalla hated that they will be sent along with the believers. So He kept them behind and He said to them, remain seated with those who will remain behind. Those who have physical disabilities and those who have financial difficulties who are unable to engage in jihad. The munafiqeen who had a lot of wealth, some of them had a lot of wealth and the means, because of this weakness in them, Allah did not want them to come with them, with the believers. Because if they were to go, they would only make it worse for the believers. Talking and scaring the believers, look how many they are, we will be defeated. The believers don't need that. That's why I said, what was his name? Anyways, but now it's exactly 10:30, so we should respect Dr. Yahya and give him his due right. We will continue inshallah with Ayah 141 next week. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.